Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 1st, 2012, episode 349, sponsored by Easy Signs Online. Good morning, horse people.
Here we come, walk down the street. We'll get the funniest looks from everyone we meet.
Davy Jones, the lead singer of the Monkees, has died. An official from the Medical Examiner's Office in Martin County, Florida, tells TMZ Jones passed away Wednesday morning. His rep confirmed the news, saying the singer died from a heart attack.
Someone else, but not for me. A love without forgetting me. That's the way it seems. Disappointment haunted all my dreams. Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer.
Not a trace went down in my mind, cause I'm in love. Ooh, oh, I'm a believer. I could leave her if I tried. Oh my God. Can I tell you how sad the news of Davy Jones passing makes me? Now, granted, I'm a second generation Monkees fan, Glenn, because I grew up when I was about 10, 11 years old. I used to watch Nick at Night every night. Nickelodeon, because Nickelodeon had Nick at Night, and they would play reruns of two shows that I was wholeheartedly addicted to. And again, keep in mind my age, 10, 11 years old, and it was Mr. Ed and the Monkees. And they would play those every night, my two favorite shows of my youth. Now, mind you, these shows were made in the 50s and in the 60s, so I was, you know, I was getting some classic episodes there. I ended up becoming the hugest Monkees fan. I had, now mind you, I knew that they were like in their 50s when I liked them, or 40s, but I had like posters of Davy Jones, Mickey Dolenz, Peter Torg, Michael Nesmith, all the Monkees on my wall. I had just like this Monkees homage, along with the, you know, the centerfolds from Horse Illustrated. That was what donned my room when I was a teen, or a preteen, I would have to say. My parents thought I was crazy. They're like, we listened to the Monkees and we hated them. We liked the Beatles. I'm like, no.
Yes, me too.
They're like, I'm like, no, Beatles? The Beatles didn't have a TV show of awesomeness, and they didn't have one particular person that I thought was the cutest guy in the whole wide world, which was Davy Jones. I was so obsessed with the Monkees, Glenn, that when they went on tour when I was like 28 years old, 29, I went to see them. I bought tickets, and believe it or not, I got front row tickets. And I didn't buy them that far out, you know what I'm saying? So I went to the Monkees concert. Actually, it was open floor seating. I stood right in the front, and Davy Jones did his little Daydream Believer dance, which he would kind of sway back and forth. He was like the precursor to Axl Rose doing his patience dance, okay? So Davy Jones is up there, and he looks at me, and he smiles, and he nods, and he gives me one of those things. And then, I'm sorry, I thought it was the cheesiest thing I'd ever seen. Because, like, dude, you're like 60. But whatever. It was still awesome. Davy Jones made eye contact with me, and not to be whatever, but my friend Sarah and I, who also was a big Naked Night Monkeys fan, we waited outside for their tour bus.
And you have to think about it, though. Davy Jones, when you look at the four of them, and by the way, I was watching it when it was in its first reruns in the late 60s and early 70s, and for those people my age, you're going to remember they're on VHF. There were three stations you used to get because all you had was the antenna on the roof. And then there was this new thing called UHF, which had stations that would play these old reruns. And that it was on UHF where we first saw the Monkees. And, you know, I was at the age, I was even younger than that probably when I was watching them for the first time. And at that age, it was kind of funny to watch them do all their slapstick stuff. But if you're talking about, Jennifer said, there, you know, he was dreamy. He was the only one on that show was dreamy. The other three were kind of goofy looking.
Correct. But I would like to take you back about I don't know, it's got to be like 8 years ago when they were on tour. And, you know, Michael Nesmith became a big MTV guy. He was the one that wore the wool hat and had the shaggy hair. Well, he ended up working for MTV as like one of the creators of MTV. So he's never hung out with, you know, Peter and Michael, Peter and Davey and Mickey. He's never hung out with them since. So I'm at this tour, and I'm going to tell you that, well, Mickey Dolenz, he's the one that had the curly hair. He looked terrible. Davy Jones looked like an old Davy Jones, but I'm going to tell you something. That Peter Tork that had the bowl cut, he was hot. He
really?
Got just, oh, my God. We were like, dude, that guy is so hot. He is, like, seriously, he was like Robert Redford, like, got better looking as he got older, you know? Yeah. We were totally chasing it. So when I was waiting outside for the bus, all I did was want to talk to Peter because I was like in my, you know, mid to late 20s single. And I'm like, what's up, Monkey? And then I realized that, you know, that'd be still creepy. But he was hot. And I did get to talk to him.
Now, Michael Nesmith was the one I always thought looked like kind of like a weird sort of liberal college professor. And I'm trying to find a picture of him. You know, from more recent times, and I'm having trouble finding. I know, I can't find anything.
No, he's a big exec.
I did find a picture of him. He kind of looks like a senior citizen executive. Suit and tie.
So driving back, I had just a really hard day yesterday, and driving home, I was extra sad to learn that that Davy Jones had passed. But, you know, I remember that he was a jockey. He was actually an apprentice jockey before he was picked up because he was an apprentice jockey, but he was also on the stage. And that's how he was discovered, was he was doing a Broadway production, not even Broadway, just a production over in England of Oliver. And so he was picked up through that to be in this boy band, and they kind of put the whole thing together for commercialism for the TV show. Anyway, so I do recall that he was a horse person, but I did not recall like that he was so into horses as he got older, Glenn.
Oh, yeah, he was a big racehorse guy. And as a matter of fact, you know, he died feeding his horses at the farm. He had a heart attack and died actually feeding his horses at the farm. And he has some quotes, and I think you might have some of them here. He has some quotes where he has talked about in the past how he wished he had never done the music thing and had gotten into being a full-time jockey. He would have preferred doing that. He says that was a mistake in his life.
Oh, wow. Well, at least he should have gone back to it, because then you can afford it. But I did love this quote that I saw this morning, and it says, it's Davy Jones, recounting his first horse ride, he said, "A lot of people call me cowboy, but the first time I was on horseback, I had a lump in my throat the size of my fist, and my heart was almost bouncing me out of the saddle. However, as I grew used to it," isn't that cool? As I grew used to it on that ride. And I just love this part, too. "However, as I grew used to it on that ride, I thought, oh, my God. Oh, my God, it's going to happen. I'm cantering, and I've been a cowboy ever since." So rest in peace, Davy Jones. You know, one of my favorite things to do is feed my horses. So, you know, I guess if that's the case, then you went doing what you love. So bless your heart. We'll miss you.
You know, he actually won his first horse race in England as a jockey in 1996. He was 50 years old, and it was on his own horse called Digpast.
And he also, you know, he trained race horses. He actually, I read an article this morning that he rode at Keeneland here one time. He wasn't a jockey in a race, but he got to ride on the racetrack on one of his horses. He got to do the warm-up in the morning on one of his horses, and it was kind of a big deal. It made the news here in Lexington that he rode on the Keeneland racetrack, and apparently that was kind of a thrill of his life, too. So,
oh, my God. I rode on the same racetrack as Davy Jones.
That's right.
It's awesome.
Here, awesome. Let's just give you a couple seconds of this again.
Give me the opener again. Play the whole thing.
Okay.
Get funny as fuck. Everyone we need.
Everyone we need.
Hey, hey, we're hey,
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 hey, hey.
The people say we're not here. We're too busy singing.
Put in body.
Davy Jones, the lead singer of the Monkees, has died. An official from the Medical Examiner's Office in Martin County, Florida, tells TMZ Jones passed away Wednesday morning. His rep confirmed the news, saying the singer died from a heart attack.
Then I saw her face. Now I'm a free
lover. And not a. How do we not have Last Train to Clarksville on there? Gun. Take the last train, Clarksville.
Okay, I can only play so many or I'll get sued. That's why.
It's a tribute, okay? It's a tribute. All right, I'm going to move on past this.
Despite Jamie's request, this will not be the Monkees Hour. We're going to continue on with the rest of the show now.
I would like you to know right now that I'm wearing my Hickstead armband, and I have put a sticker on it that also says Davy Jones. So there you go.
It's too bad we're not a video show. What's on the show this morning, Jennifer?
On this morning's Easy Signs Online Thursday edition, we max out the horses in the morning edutainment potential by ringing the opening bell with Christine Skelly, of My Horse University, which is an online education resource for the equestrian edification addicts around the world. And after the mid-show song and snack break, Lisa from the Chronicle of the Horse will be here with a bit of a history quiz in honor of that magazine's upcoming 75th anniversary. Stay tuned and find out how you can help them celebrate that anniversary.
Well, my Daily Witty today goes out to a friend of ours from down under, Mel Donald. Mel posted, this is for Glenn. I like big poodles, too. Remember our conversation about favorite dog breeds? And I said, I like the big poodles, not the little ones so much. And she says, this is for Glenn. I like big poodles, too. Oh, and there are three varieties to choose from, not sizes like calling pink coats red, toy, miniature, and standard. I own two big black standards, best horse girl dog breed ever. And she posted a picture of her two doggies, and they are beautiful dogs. And we thank Mel for posting that, and I'm sorry I called them sizes. They're not sizes.
Now, she's doing in the photograph what one does with a poodle, and that's the problem with having a poodle, is she is grooming them.
Yes.
Which I believe would take most of the time of owning a poodle, and the variety of large, or what was it? It's the variety of what? What was it?
Standard? Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Those the standard variety would take more because they're bigger.
That's right. Well, and if you want to see that picture, Mel posted on our Facebook page. Just search for Horses in the Morning on Facebook. Scroll down and you'll see the picture of Mel's beautiful little poodles. Now, we did get a lot of people that posted about what dogs are the best dogs for horse shows, and you'll find that on our Facebook page, too. There were just, the usual varieties that you would expect. Taking a look here, some of them, dogs for dog people, Australian Shepherd Schnauzers. Now, I don't see a whole lot of Schnauzers at dog shows, but maybe. Corgi, Dachshunds, Aussies, Border Collies, Jack Russells, and Mutts. Those breeds seem to be the ones that you saw the most of. Fox Terriers were on that list as well. So there were a whole variety there. And thank you for posting that yesterday. And here is your Daily Winnie.
My Daily Winnie goes out to one of our listeners, Shauna Kroll, because Shauna has always kept us up to date on what her standardbred racer, Wildfire, does, and apparently Wildfire won yesterday with a new lifetime mark of 156-1. Apparently, she says she's been racing very well and thanks us for all the good shows. Jennifer, write this down, because I want to talk to Shauna. I want to book Shauna on the show because I have questions about standardbred racing. And it stems from pretty much my husband and I really don't go anywhere. We own a farm. We stay home all the time. However, we do go to one Korean/Japanese restaurant that is this little tiny hole in the wall, and it is located right outside the Air Force Base. So we go to this place and walk inside there, and for some reason there is always a television that is broadcasting TVG, which is the racing thing, and all they do is show races back to back and back. And you would not expect TVG to be playing in a Korean/sushi restaurant. But consistently, for like 4 years, we've been going to this place, and it's always playing this one TV, and we always take, I mean, they know that we're going to take the booth, and we sit there and watch, and it's always a mix of quarter horse, standardbred, and thoroughbred racing. But I have questions, because I swear to you, and I know there's got to be some reason, that as they're coming around the final turn, it literally looks like these drivers, jockeys, whatever they're called, are pulling back as hard as they can on these horses' mouths. And I'm like, are they trying to slow them down? Deb, you ever noticed that, Glenn?
Yeah, well, they lean back in the sulky. They're kind of leaning back, so it kind of does look like they're pulling back.
I think that they're pulling back, and I think that, I think there's some shenanigans going on, is what I think. Shenanigans. I'm calling shenanigans. So I got to know. I got to talk to her. My husband and I are convinced. We're like, look at them. They're slowing that one down. Look, because one person will be flipping the reins to him, go, 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 and the other one is pulling back as hard as they can. I've got to know. I swear it's shenanigans. We're going to get Shauna on and find this out.
Well, my pony that I had for so long was an ex-racing pony, and she did the county fair circuit and that kind of stuff, and she used to pull the cart with the reins. She never, ever pulled the cart with the traces. She pulled the cart with the reins. By the way, when you drive a pony in at carriage drives for 4 hours and she's pulling the cart with the reins, your arms are exhausted. So there might be some truth to that. You know, there might be some truth. They definitely have a lot of contact on the bit, that's for sure.
Shenanigans.
There was probably a monkey song about that.
Shenanigans. If there wasn't, there should be.
There should be. Well, Dr. Rose's is what we're giving away. Dr. Rose's Remedy Skin Treatment Solvent Spray. All 100% natural products. They're anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, antiviral, and antifungal, and anti-everything else. And they're made with human-grade ingredients, and that's what we're giving away for this week's Really Bad Ads winner. Get your Really Bad Ads in. It's the last day to do that. We'll be having Really Bad Ads tomorrow. Probably be a little bit earlier tomorrow because I have to go to the dentist. So the show will probably end a little earlier tomorrow, so stay tuned for the whole show. And we have a big exciting announcement tomorrow as well. But send your Really Bad Ads in to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. We got some in yesterday.
I gotta let you know that you know, I'm in the market for a new school horse. And so I've been looking online at Dream Horse and Craigslist and all this stuff. And I might have started drinking last night and found some ones that I thought were very funny. So I told Jennifer this morning, I'm like, if they're not funny, just throw them away, because Chad and I were drinking and looking online at horses. And so just it might be bad. I had a bad day yesterday. I was entitled to drink on a school night. So I found one, and now that I've gone back and I have read this, it is still funny. I went to my scent file, and let me just, I'm just going to give you the title of the really bad ad that I found, and then you'll hear the rest tomorrow, hopefully, if it made the list. But the title of the ad, $500 in Buckeye, Arizona, Sorrel Pony Horse Filly. Sorrel Pony Horse Filly. That's one animal for sale, okay?
It's a pony horse.
It's a Sorrel Pony Horse Filly. So I'm sorry, that's still funny today, and you'll hear more tomorrow.
Well, before we go on here with the show, I have a couple other things. One is other sad news of a death yesterday, and we talked about him a little bit a couple days ago, and that's Donald Little. He sustained an injury over the weekend at the Winter Equestrian Festival in Wellington while jumping his horse in the Masters class. He was like 78 years old, I believe. Donald is best known as being the master of the fox hunt up at Myopia, at the Myopia Hunt Club. He was the master of foxhounds, and he's been doing that for a long time. Jennifer actually rode with him for, how many, two years in hunt after hunt over there at the Myopia Hunt Club. He was a man that pretty much knew no fear when it came to riding. There was a joke that every time he would go to Wellington over the Florida, he would come back with something broken because he just had no fear. He wasn't afraid of anything. He also played polo, and he also owned a very successful racing consortium. And Michael Matz is one of his trainers under that racing consortium. And, you know, he was a pilot, and I know he owned his own airplane, and he was a U.S. Air Force veteran. He was the youngest aircraft commander in the Strategic Air Command, and he was a number of things. This is a guy, and I think Jennifer would probably agree to this. This was a guy that lived life to the fullest. I mean, he had the money to do it, and he did. He just lived every day like it was his last, and he went for gusto. He just had a good time. He was well known in the East Coast here. For jumping, and also, you know, obviously for being the master of foxhounds at Myopia. But, Jennifer, you've probably ridden, you know, 100 hunts with him.
Oh, yeah.
The way.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And his goal in life, not only did he live life to the fullest, his goal was to make damn sure everybody else around him did, too. He didn't have any time for folks who just wanted to, just take the easy route, take the safe route. No. You get out there and you live it to the fullest, and he did everything he could to make sure people around him did the same.
Yeah, Helena has some funny stories. Helena from the Stable Scoop Show, because she also rode with Jennifer at the same time that Don Little was the Master of Hounds. And apparently Don fell off in one hunt, and he got knocked completely unconscious, he was out. And they apparently, the emergency crews got there, and they had to cut his red coat, which, what that has a different name. Sorry, I always say that wrong,
pink.
Too.
Pink.
His what? It's not coat. What do they call it, Joe?
It's a coat.
It's a coat. Yeah. Okay, pink coat. Well, they had to cut it off of him. And apparently when he woke up, he had a conniption about them cutting his coat.
I'll bet he did.
He didn't care that he had gotten knocked out. He didn't care about any of that. He was just pissed they cut his coat. And he must have went through a lot of those over the years, those pink coats. But so our best to the family of Don Little. He'll be remembered by a lot of people here on the East Coast and all over the country as being a horseman. So that's our best to them. And then one other thing, I got an email from a girl named Samantha, and howdy, Samantha. Thought I'd answer this on the air because it would be easier. And she said that she was disappointed in us, Jamie. I'm not going to read the email. It was pretty long. I'll just summarize it here. She was disappointed that we don't cover more in the news segments of our show about the terrible situation with horses being neglected and then having to be taken by the humane societies and all of that, that this is such a, you know, huge problem in the country, and we just totally ignore it. And, you know, I just want to explain, we have explained this before in the show, but for new listeners, let's talk about it for a minute. We read every news story that is out every day about that has a horse in it from around the world. There are 20 news stories a day about horses being repossessed by people who are maltreating them. If we covered these news stories, all we would talk about for an hour and a half every day is the mistreatment of horses around the world. That's all we would talk about. That's all we would have time to cover. And it would be a depressing, horrible hour and a half every morning. It would depress us. It would depress the listeners. And nobody would listen. So we just made the decision, and we tell people this every once in a while, that we just aren't covering them. There's just too many. When there's exceptional ones, when there's a situation that has a good ending or something like that, we'll talk about it. But I don't know if you have anything to add to that, Jamie, but it would be the depression hour.
Yeah, unfortunately, that is the way that the world is right now. Excuse me. And the one thing that we can do is, as horse owners and horse lovers, is to do what we can in our own way. It's not going to, you can read the same news story I can about a horse that was rescued. I have three horses in my backyard that came from those situations, and that's what I do. That's what I can do to try to help, is take them and make them, make them better. So that's what I do. I don't feel the need to sit here and read all these awful stories. Like you said, it will be just a depression hour, and nobody would want to listen. So, this show, excuse me, Horses in the Morning, is about, it's kind of, we want it to be a positive show. We want it to be a fun show. We want it to be a show that makes you want to get up in the morning and listen to it. And it doesn't need to be down, down, down all the time. I mean, this week, we have had the most depressing shows between today having to talk about two people that have passed away and then, talking about the horses on Tuesday, I believe. So that's as depressing as I want to get. I want to talk about Davy Jones, and I want to play some Monkey songs and lament his passing, and that's about as sad as we get.
Yeah, and you said it very well. I'm not going to add anything more to that. But that is why, Samantha, it's not that we don't take the problem as a serious problem. We do. And we have done, we have done fundraisers for people in trouble. We have done a number of things over the years here at the Horse Radio Network for horses in trouble, for horse people in trouble. And we will continue to do those things. It's just we're not going to do them on a daily basis. It's too depressing. So let's get on with today's show. And today's show is brought to you by Easy Signs Online. Do you want to tell us about that, Jamie?
Well, I would love to, because I have one of their signs, and I really love my farm sign. It is the coolest part of this farm. My husband and I gave it to each other for Christmas, and we contacted EasySignsOnline.com and called them up, and I said, listen, I want this picture put on my sign. Because he's an F-16 pilot, and I like to jump horses. Our farm name is Flyover Farms. He actually flies over our farm all the time, and I like to jump. So we had a picture of a horse going one way and an F-16 going the other way, like the silhouettes, and then Flyover Farm was in between the horse and the plane. And I said, this is what I want. He goes, done. Sent me, 20 different horse jumpings to pick from, and then seven different F-16 planes that we could pick to put on the sign and design and stuff. So actually, Wayne really worked with us in designing the entire sign. We got to pick the colors. Like, do you want the reflectable lettering, or do you want the shiny lettering? It just was awesome. I mean, one-sided or two-sided, they sent everything. So I definitely suggest, if you're going to get a farm sign, which you should totally have one, because it's really fun to drive home and see your sign, and it's a good landmarker for everybody who's coming to your house, just have them make it. Go to EasySignsOnline.com for all your sign needs. They also do signs, banners, magnets, decals, any type of sign need that you have, they've got it covered. This week is free shipping on most orders over $100. So go to EasySignsOnline.com. That's signsonline.com, or give me a call at 1-800-640-8180.
Thank you very much, Jamie. Well, our first guest here is a professor, actually. Her name is Christine Skelly, and she is coming on to talk about My Horse University, which is a website that I wasn't familiar with, and I'm looking forward to learning more about. So let's bring Christine on here, and I actually believe it's Dr. Skelly, isn't it?
It is. Thank you.
Well, good morning, and thank you for joining us.
You bet. Enjoying it so far.
Well, you actually earned your doctorate at Texas A&M University. So Woo! you were down there in the big state.
You betcha.
Now, you have any of that southern accent rub off from down there?
Sir?
Did any of that southern accent rub off from down there?
No, you know, the first few weeks I was here, I kept saying fixin' to, and people would just be laughing their heads off. So it's kind of worn off over the last 15 years. only when I go home to my folks, and then it all comes back.
Well, and then you actually became an associate professor at Michigan State, right?
That's right. Go green.
Well, you went from, I got to say, though, weather-wise, you went from Texas A&M University, where it's, like, warm, to Michigan.
Well, I would say Texas A&M, where it's hot, 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 and humid, to Michigan, where it's cold, 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 and freezing. Yes, the two extremes.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit about
horse care, too, let me tell you.
What's that?
Two extremes in horse care as well.
Yes. Yes, definitely. And we have a ton of listeners from Michigan, by the way. Sounds like I'm picking on Michigan, but we do have a ton of listeners from there. Let me talk about My Horse University. Tell us how this website got started and what it is.
Okay, well, My Horse University is obviously based out of Michigan State University, and it provides online learning opportunities for horse enthusiast everywhere. We have a lot of people taking our courses that don't own horses, but just want to learn more about them. We have people that are professionals in the horse industry that are taking them for professional development, and then a whole array of learners in between. So some of our courses are taught at the college level at Michigan State and a couple of other universities in the country. And we have continued education credits available through our premier courses. But we also do a lot of online learning beyond our courses. We have monthly webcasts where we partner with eExtension Horses and provide an hour long of you can sit in on a presentation from a national expert from anywhere in the country possibly. And we actually get a lot of participants from outside of the United States that log on to those webcasts. We have a live Q&A session going on same time during the chat portion of the webcast. So it's a lot of fun as well. We have monthly newsletters that can get delivered to your mailbox. And then we also have a lot going on social media with our Facebook and our Twitter. And I think that's how we met you guys.
I think it probably is. And I'm looking at the list of your experts here, the people who actually do the courses, and 90% of them have a doctor in front of their name. Is it all health-related, or are there training things on here?
We have a behavior class, which is probably as close as we get to training horses, because obviously that's something that, you know, really requires some hand-on, and we're more of a virtual university. So we mainly stick to more management. We do have work with veterinarians that can get into equine medicine issues and topics. But I think our biggest selling point is our strength in horse management in general. And because we have such a diverse group of experts from all over the country, we can really hone in on any topic from any place.
You really can. I'm looking here online at myhorseuniversity.com, and there's Trail Riding 101. Your next competition horse is how to match horse and rider, and it goes all the way to preparing and breeding your mare to postnatal care. So with all of these different things, this may sound like a really stupid question, but is this like an accredited thing? Like, can I get an actual degree from going to My Horse University, or is it just a personal education website?
It started out primarily as more of a personal education. However, we do have a working relationship with the United States Dressage Federation, and they have accreditation for taking our courses, and we have the continued education credits that are available through Michigan State University for our premier courses. And we're also beginning to work with community colleges starting out in Michigan to offer these courses in more of a formal aspect to where a person in a community college would leave after completing the courses and some hands-on work with more of a certificate or degree in hand.
Okay, so that's not actually happened yet, but you are. That's kind of where you're planning to go?
That's where. That's what we're in talks right now, actually. So, yes, we're
trying
to get that up and running. And like I said earlier, quite a few of our courses are being taught currently, but you have to be enrolled in a university that's offering those courses. So for most of us, you know, it's not worth the money just for that, you know, two or three credits with the university stamp of approval.
Now, let me just point out that, well, let me just give you a little personal information here. I think I would have finished college with honors had I been able to take trail riding 101 and then evaluation, confirmation, form to function, and then, oh, my God, the greatest horse course ever, purchasing and owning a horse 101. I would have made the dean's list. I would have been right up there. I would have had perfect attendance. I'm not kidding you. My father would be so proud.
We call our horse program at Michigan State the icing on the cake. You know, it's what keeps a lot of our students going and doing well in some of the harder courses because they get to enjoy what they're passionate about, and that's horses. So I totally agree. That was actually my experience at Texas A&M when I went to school there. They have a really strong horse program as well.
You should breed an identification of horses. I will get an A. I'm in study.
Glad you mentioned purchasing and owning a horse because we actually, a few months ago, we decided to make that an open course, which means it's free to the public. And that's a really fun, short course. It doesn't take a whole lot of time. You can probably, most of us could probably breeze through it, you know, in a couple of hours, but it gives you a taste of online learning, and it's some really good information, especially for people that are just thinking about purchasing their first horse.
I was going to ask you what the most popular courses are. Is that the one?
Well, we've gotten a lot, even without advertising it yet, because we're going to be launching it soon in more of a PR campaign. Even without advertising it, we've had over 200 people take that course. But I would say, you know, our most popular courses are really our premier courses, and it's really hard to say one is better than the other. It's really whatever your fit in life is. You know, our horse nutrition course is really popular. Our behavior and welfare course is a great course. And then, of course, the horse selection and evaluation course is a lot of fun to take, and we get great feedback on that course as well.
Well, this does look like fun. Now, how much are the courses? I assume there's a fee for this. So.
There is. The premier courses are $200 for the course. And that's, you know, if you go through all the capstone activities and participate in all of the webinars, you're probably looking at between 15 and 20 hours to complete the course. Our short courses, though, are only $50. And that's a nice entry-level way to get involved in online learning to see if you like it or not. I always recommend that to people or take our free course now. But they're much shorter, you know. You're only looking at 2 to 3 hours of your time. And for every course that you take, we send you a certificate of completion if you score 70% or above on the quizzes. And quizzes, people get all nervous about, but our quizzes are interactive, and you can take them as many times as you need to achieve your goal. So,
that's perfect.
Another A plus. It's like, oh, I failed that one. Oh, God, I'll just take it again. Perfect.
And because they're interactive, every time you you take it and you get a question wrong, you're actually going to learn something new about that because we're going to give you the right answer and explain why your answer wasn't correct. So sometimes I think you actually learn more when you get the questions wrong. So.
Oh, that I'd be perfect. That'd be great for me. I can manage to get everyone wrong. That's no problem. And I'm looking here too at some of the events that you have coming up, the webinars, and managing live horse events is one. Tractor and machinery safety. There's one for horse husbands right there.
Glenn, you need that one. Sign up
today. I know. Pasture rotation, that's always one that we, you know, when we had our big farm, we had 100 acres, and one of the things that we were always concerned with was pasture rotation, but, you know, we had to learn from the neighboring farmers that would tell us what to do, and half the time I think they were wrong.
You know, that's exactly right. I mean, most of us coming into the horse industry, a lot of people are entering in, you know, during their midlife. They're coming from a more urban environment. They're moving to a rural setting and setting up their farm. And a lot of things that, you know, maybe our grandparents knew, we're just not growing up with. So most of our material is really geared towards helping people get a better concept of just agriculture, good environmental practices, and how we can all work holistically for the betterment of our horse industry and our environment as well.
Now, is there a fee for these classes?
The webcasts are totally free. That's the beauty of it. And the cool thing also about our webcast, if you can't make a webcast, you can go back into our archives and you can watch any of these webcasts at any time. So a lot of these webcasts, again, are being used in the university setting. 4-H clubs are using them for club meetings. There's just a variety of ways they're being repurposed.
Can I recommend a new section? We always said that we need education for aspiring horse husbands, those that are marrying into this world. I think you need a whole series of classes. I could teach a couple of them, by the way. We need a whole series of classes or at least a webinar. Maybe we could put a webinar together on Horse Husband 101 for all of those new boyfriends who are out there with the horse crazy girl who think their lives are going to be normal after they marry this woman. We need to educate them right away.
I love it. Absolutely love
Perfect.
It.
Now, I bet you'd be the most attended one you ever had.
No. I've got one that's even bigger. And I'm just going to say this because as a woman who was single until she was 30 that has had horses since she was 5, I would like to have a class on how to find the perfect future horse husband. That would be a hot item right there.
It sounds kind of like a dual speaker class, you know, a his and her kind of class. Great.
I hate to tell you, though, neither one of us have a doctor in front of our names.
You don't need it.
You're in charge.
Okay. All right. Even I'm looking at the guy who's doing tractor and machinery safety, and his name is Dr. Aaron Yoder. What the heck? You have a doctor that's doing tractor and machinery safety. Does he have a doctor in tractorology?
No. You know what we call that, Glenn?
What?
The perfect man. A doctor on a tractor is hot, okay?
Well, you know, his degree is in biological engineering. So, you know, we met him through, we've been working on a youth safety grant for kids working on horse farms. So we met Aaron at a conference in Washington, D.C. that was associated with that grant. And he's also very active in youth safety with machinery being a big part of that. So yeah, you know, it's amazing the kind of degrees you can get and what you can do with them. And you can be pretty passionate about a subject matter and have your PhD, too. So.
You know what it came down to, though? Really, really? Dr. Aaron, it just came down to he read the manual.
Yeah, but he understood it better because of his engineering degree.
This is great. My Horse University, you can find it at myhorseuniversity.com. Go check it out. By the way, you know, I'm a bit of a web developer too, and your website is very easy to get around. So many of them you just can't find your way to do anything. This one is simple. It's easy. There's a lot of student testimonials on there, and I'm looking forward to seeing it as you guys grow this and really make it into something, hopefully, you know, with universities all over the country.
Great. That's our goal, too. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Christine. We really appreciate you being on today.
All right. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I could be a doctorate of horse husbandry. That doesn't sound right.
That's not.
That's altogether different, Glenn.
That's different, isn't
yeah.
it? We need to rename that.
You actually could be that doctor. The other one, you got no shot.
Yeah.
That's not real.
All right, let's play our song right after we hear about FeedXL. I'm playing. Jamie's had a rough week this week, and those that listen to all the shows this week know why. We don't need to rehash that. But you love the song Girls and Horses, so we're going to play that one for you today.
Thank you very much.
Poor Gypsy is suffering from horse envy. He's the new kid in the pasture and can't get over the stamina and shape of his fellow stallmates. Rumors around the barn point to FeedXL. Seems their owner has been online and discovered the FeedXL nutrition tool. That means Gypsy's in for a big transformation. The other horses have been telling Gypsy all about the changes made to their diet and how FeedXL has improved their overall well-being. When it comes to your horse's diet, conflicting advice can result in overfeeding and money wasted. With a FeedXL nutrition tool, enter your horse's weight, diet, and activity level to get started. It'll allow you to see where your horse's diet stands and give you the opportunity to revise it until it's balanced. FeedXL has the latest science backing them up, allowing you to take charge of your horse's diet with an easy-to-use nutrition tool, taking the guesswork out of what to feed your horse. It's almost like Gypsy has his own personal nutritionist right at the barn. Visit FeedXL.com for a simple and easy nutrition tool to balance your horse's diet for optimum health.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she talks about them, dreams about them, thinks about him all the time. She's got to have him, be lost without him. You can see it in her eyes. What is it? What is it with girls and horses? She says, now when I was a young girl, they were my whole world. They were my one safe place. Now that I'm older, still lean on their shoulders, I still feel like that girl someday. What is it? What is it with girls and horses? Sometimes I dream about him. I live to love him, and I love to ride. I'll always have him, be lost without him. There's magic in those gentle eyes. What is it? What is it with girls and horses?
That is Templeton Thompson, Girls and Horses. And thank you, Glenn, for playing that. I just sit here and listen to the whole thing. Oh, I just love it. So thank you very much. It's been a tough week, and I just stuff like that. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. So we've got a couple of news stories for you, and before we get to the Chronicle of the Horse. And, you know, we got the point to air vest, okay? Then there's the competitive air vest, which is the HIT air vest. And both of these are fantastic products, you know, and they, if you fall off, you know, it inflates super quick. It's an air jacket. And I will not go ride cross country without my .2 air vest on. Now, they're competitive companies, but they have joined together for one reason and one reason only, is that people are trying to skirt around the air jacket canisters. The canisters for the air vest, every time somebody falls off, you go, oh, there's $25 or whatever it is, you know, because every time the canister pops, you have to replace it with a new, fresh one.
And it's just to explain to people, it's a CO2 canister. And actually, the CO2 canisters, that's what they do. They're punctured, and they cause the CO2 explosion, which inflates the air vest. But they're also used in a number of other applications, so with toys and different things as well.
Yeah, and a lot of motorcycle people use them for different things. And, you know, so they've got these canisters, but you can find some of the canisters, CO2 canisters, not the .2 or HITM canisters, but you can find these canisters at, like, motorcycle shops.
Walmart.
And yeah. Walmart, even.
Yeah, for the air guns use them,
yeah. Yes, exactly. Do you want to do the story?
No, I'm just saying.
No, you're exactly right, because you got better information than me. My computer's just right
now. I used to have the air guns, okay?
Oh, did you? Okay, yeah. There you go. So you know. So they've been testing them. Lee Middleton, who is the director and manufacturer, maker, inventor of the .2 air vest, tracked those canisters down and found that they cost, you know, considerably less, like $5 to $10, as opposed to like $25 to $30 for the .2. So he started testing those in their air vest, and HITM did this too. Well, the .2 canisters, the canisters that you buy for falling off of your horse, inflate in 0.1 seconds, okay? I mean, that is like you disconnect from your saddle and you are full of air by the time you hit the ground. It's a fantastic product. These other canisters are taking more than a second to fill up.
So 10 times longer
for these. So, yeah, you may be finding them a little bit cheaper. They don't inflate the jackets correctly, and they do it a lot slower. So they are just letting everybody know. The reason they're so expensive is they have to have a special license to get the canisters, and they are classified as hazardous goods. When I got my .2 air vest at Rolex, I was unable to buy the canisters there because I couldn't take them on the airplane. They are not allowed to fly in airplanes. So they have to ground ship them wherever they go, and that's why they're so expensive. So they are saying, yes, they are expensive, but please only use their canisters in the jackets, just so you know, because if you are going to fall off, it sometimes takes, you know, as you know, less than a second, and you may not be using the benefit of your .2 air vest or your HITM air vest correctly. So just so you know, a little public service announcement for you. And,
all right.
Oh, the other canisters invalidate the warranty for the jacket. So if you pay this, you know, $700 or whatever it is for your air vest, your jacket, and you have a fall, and you're out that money because they will not warranty your jacket if you're using different canisters.
Ah, gotcha. All right, that's good to know. It's good to know. Don't go cheap when your life is on the line. That's what the moral of that story is. Yeah. The other couple things here before we get to the Chronicle, who has a fun, I think she has a fun segment for us today. I'm looking forward to that, is on our friends over at horsejunkiesunited.com, the blog there, posted a real good article that was titled Rolex Kentucky 3-Day Event, Information and Useful Tips for First Timers. It was a cute article, and it really did give you some great information and tips if you're a first timer coming to Rolex this year. Take a look at that. And one other thing is I don't have any I don't have any show highlights today because our websites have been up and down. If you're looking for a Horse Radio Network websites for any of the shows, our host informed us this morning that they are changing our servers. I hope it's because we just killed them with downloads. That's what I'm hoping, is it was
yeah,
our
right.
fault. Yeah, yeah. We're hoping that. We might be. We went almost over a terabyte of data last month that was downloaded through the shows. That is a lot. And so they will be on up and down all day. We were told there's a chance they could be off for hours at a time. So if you're looking for one of our websites today and you can't find it, it comes up with an error message. We didn't go out of business. Jamie is still going to get paid. It will be back tomorrow. Just check it again tomorrow. So it will be up and down all day today. All right. Why don't you take us to Lisa?
All right. Well, we've got Lisa from the Chronicle of the Horse on, and I don't even really know what she's going to do. I think it's some sort of way to make us feel kind of stupid, Glenn. Lisa, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Lisa.
Well,
that was my plan when I thought about what do I want to do today. I was like, I want to make Jamie and Glenn feel really stupid.
And accomplish that you will, I'm sure. But
no,
Chronicle
no
history guessing game. First of all, how's your horse doing?
Oh, she's good. She's been sitting a little bit. It's been, you know, raining and whatnot, so.
Doesn't it make you just feel awful? I mean, because you're an eventer, right? And so just the lack of. I love that. Theoretically.
Yeah.
Well, theoretically, I'm an Olympic contender, so I understand.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, so it sucks not being on a ride, so I totally feel you. I feel your pain, girl. Well,
yep.
What do you have in store for us today?
I thought today we've been gearing up. I don't know if you guys know, but this is our 75th anniversary year.
Wow.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. So, you know, our actual anniversary isn't until a little bit later in the year, and we're going to be doing a bunch of fun stuff online and in the magazine about that. But I thought I would kind of, like, you know, just get us thinking that way, get us geared up a little bit, and just go back through some of the past issues and look at some of the history, because I think this is what I did with you guys the very first time I came on. It's really fun because you're like, what, a saddle costs $25 and horses cost, you know, $500.
Oh, and, you know, we've been reminiscing all day because of the monkeys anyway, so,
yeah.
You know, why not? Yeah.
Yeah, just keep
I love it,
it. Keep it going. So, let's see. I thought we would go back and sort of look at this day in time at a couple of different decades, because it's kind of neat. So, the first one, I actually wanted to go back not that far. We've done Horses in Sport for the last, I'm not exactly sure how many years, I think about 16 or 17, and that's where we go through and we say, like, you know, these were the real standouts of the year, and we do it in each discipline. So it's really fun to look at 10 years ago because, you know, I know all of these horses, whereas if I go back more years, I don't necessarily know them. So we're looking at the Horses in Sport from 2001, which isn't that long ago, but it's still kind of surprising. That year we had Winsome Adante.
Ah.
And, yeah, he was our eventing horse of the year, but it's kind of fun because in the story it says, in his first year at Advanced, he proved he's Kim Vinosky's newest star. And like at that point, they didn't know obviously what a star he would end up being. I think he won Rolex 3 times. And
Dan.
Dan, yeah, just a super horse. So this was like at the beginning of Dan's career 10 years ago, which is pretty cool. We also have Brentina was our dressage horse of the year. And again,
yeah,
this was like a little bit.
Debbie McDonald.
Yeah, Debbie McDonald, her most famous horse. This was kind of towards the beginning of Brentina's career. And the blurb about her says, the U.S. dressage world's hopes rest on her chestnut shoulders. And you know,
well, you were right because isn't she like kind of still going? I think they just bred her, right? So
yeah, she's
her,
been
yeah.
retired for just not that long, like a couple of years.
Years.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
I want to mention too before you go on that Debbie McDonald is a regular co-host over on the Dressage Radio Show here on the Horse Radio Network.
And she's like one of the nicest people in the world.
Yes.
I think.
And about she's a little spitfire of a thing too. Yeah.
Yep. And let's see. We also had Todd Menicus as our overall and Shojumpy Horse of the Year with O Star. And they were sort of, it looks like, nearing the end of their competitive career at this time. It says their six-year partnership resulted in a stellar 2001 season.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So we also had Luis Cirio, our Show Hunter Horseman of the Year, and Luis is, of course, still out there kicking butt. So that's pretty cool. And then, you know, things were not that different 10 years ago, although it is fun. I don't know if you guys know this. Our magazine just went color in 2007. So,
yeah.
Is that right?
That's yeah. Crazy. I mean, forever, the Chronicle was, you know, you had just the kind of yellowish cover. And
yep.
Then otherwise, everything was black and white. And I always loved that about the magazine. But now having it in color definitely makes a big
yep.
difference.
Yeah, back in 2002, some of the ads would be full color, but still the bulk of the stories, they're black and white, which is pretty crazy to think about because that definitely wasn't so long ago. But we have, like, the new GPA helmet. Remember when those first came out with the single stripe down the front? That was, like, all the rage. Everyone had to have one. This was a new thing in 2002.
That was actually kind of when helmets started being cool, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, actually, there's still people wearing a lot of hunt caps in this issue, and it's, you know, not super long ago. There's a woman here pictured. She is in the amateur owner hunter division. She's wearing a top hat. And then there's some junior riders on what don't look like they're approved helmets. You know, they're sort of those hunt caps that have the chin strap, but not... they don't look very protective. It looks like they're probably not approved helmets.
They came with little disclaimers that said, this thing will not protect your head. You will die.
Yeah. yeah. But, you know, I guess you look maybe a little better in the process or something.
You know what's really amazing is that I still remember when I was a kid, the addition of them actually now coming out with approved helmets. I wore
really?
A helmet and yeah, not that I'm not that old, 34. But I remember doing hunter jumper shows, and my helmet was like a little cap, and the chin strap actually cupped around
yes.
your chin.
Yep.
Oh,
I remember that too. I remember,
awful.
Yeah, going for
it
that very first blessing.
Clear plastic.
Yeah, and they would be made out of that like clear plastic material. I don't know if that
yep.
was supposed to make it look like it wasn't there. That is, of course, ridiculous.
And it used to cut into your chin.
Yeah,
yeah,
and then you'd get zits on your chin because you'd be wearing your helmet for so long, and then it was like this non-breathable material, like plastic, that would suck stick to your chin,
yeah.
and it was the summertime, and you'd start to sweat. No wonder we never wanted to wear helmets. But then then they came out with the, I remember going to the Hunter Jumper shows, and you had to have an approved helmet. So then I went and got an approved helmet, and it looked like I had the largest salad bowl on my head ever of all time. I look at pictures of me, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed, and
yep.
now I know why, because it was just awful.
I remember those white, the big, I remember like some of my cool Inventor friends had them, the big white plastic helmets.
Oh yeah.
Those
yep.
were all the rage for a little
they
while.
They wore them across country a lot.
Yep.
Yep. That's right. I forget who made those actually.
Yeah, Saratoga Horseworks.
Oh, that's
oh,
right.
It that's
was Saratoga Horseworks. You're
yep.
absolutely right.
No, Saratoga helmets. It was two
yeah,
different
Saratoga
helmets. Saratoga helmets.
I don't even think
those.
They're around anymore, are
yeah.
they?
Yeah, and I had the blue version. I was so proud. I looked like a California Highway Patrol officer on a horse. Real dorky.
Oh, that's funny. All right, let's go back further in time.
Okay, let's go back. Let's go back 20 years ago. This is very funny to me because if you go to the February 28th issue, which is about as close as we can get because the next one is like March 6th or whatever. My math isn't very good, so maybe that's not right. But this was the annual Grand Prix show jumping issue, which we don't have anymore. I guess maybe we just call it our show jumping issue. That's the closest thing we have. But the commentary is by our former editor, John Strasburger, and it's called Show Jumping Sure Ain't What She Used to Be. And I think this is funny because we still have commentaries that are almost exactly the same today. Like, everyone is always saying, like, oh, man, things were so much better. Remember when the show jumping team was doing this, and, you know, you're sort of looking back and saying, like, oh, gosh, things were so much better back then, and we still do that. Like, right now, there's probably a commentary that's run in the last 6 months that says, like, man, show jumping was awesome in the 90s. But in the 90s, they were saying, like, man, Church and Bream was awesome in the 60s.
That's right.
So it talks about how, like, the 60s were, you know, sort of the heyday of show jumping. We had Bill Steinkraus, Frank Chapeau, Mary Chapeau, and Kathleen Kuzner on a team at one time. And so, you know, it is hard to look back and not say, like, what a golden age. But
I got to tell you, though, that is still considered probably one of the dream teams ever.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is.
So it talks about how, you know, we weren't doing well in Nations Cup competitions, which is directly relevant to last year when we actually got demoted down to the promotional league of Nations Cup, which is kind of an embarrassing thing that happened. So it's kind of comforting. Things seem to stay the same, but also are different. You know, then we had completely different horse shows. The Indio circuit was big instead of now it's called Thermal. It's moved a little bit. But some of the same people are still famous. We have Rich Fellers in here. We have a profile on him. He's still doing awesome with his horse Flexible and then with several others. So sports medicine boots, those seemed to be very popular at the time. And there were also, I remember those. I remember using those a lot.
1991, right? You were talking about?
Yeah, we're in 1992 right now.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
so,
sports medicine boots are still quite popular, and
yeah,
but I remember
definitely.
That the sport S&Bs were like the John Lyons favorite. You know, it's kind of started out with him, and then everybody started using them for cross country because they do great fatlock support. However, then if you were water jump is at the beginning of the course, then you're always like, oh crap, my S&Bs are going to get so heavy with water. Do you remember that? All right, what else you got?
Let's see. We have a Strongid C was a big thing. They have a full page ad in here that looks like it was maybe a little bit new at that time. I remember that. Remember those big 50-pound or 1 gallon buckets of Strongid C that everyone had in their tack rooms?
Some people still have them. Daily dewormer is a very important part of horse nutrition.
Now we have the C2X, though, you know, which is, it comes in the 10-pound buckets, which are much easier to lift.
Yeah, but the little white square bucket that the C2X comes in, it's not the multitasker that the big green bucket is.
It's true.
You know, the big green bucket, you know, you carry water, you make beet pulp, you make bran mash, you paint them and put them out for dressage letters. It's the ultimate multitasker.
I got to give everybody a tip here while you're on Ultimate Multitasker for buckets. If you have a Firehouse Subs, it's becoming a national chain. They're building them all over the country. Go there and ask to buy their pickle buckets. They have the heavy, heavy, heavy duty 5 gallon buckets with the lid, and they sell them for $2. They are the best barn buckets. We bought a dozen of them from our Firehouse Subs. And once you get the pickle smell out, you're fine. But it does smell like pickles. They are actually pickle buckets. And they are great because they actually come with the lids, and they are the heavy, heavy duty ones. At $2, you cannot beat that price.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
You know what's funny is that we just bought some pickle buckets from Lowe's, and I told Chad, I'm like, listen, I need you to go to Lowe's and get me some, I need 2 pickle buckets. And he's like, what?
What's a pickle bucket?
I was like, a pickle bucket. It's a pickle bucket. I need it for the chase. Long story short, I just needed some pickle buckets, and he had no idea what it was. So now you can actually, I can use that and say there are actually called pickle buckets, and pickles come in them.
That's right.
I just always thought a pickle bucket was the Strongid bucket.
And they're bright red, and the proceeds from the sales of the pickle buckets go directly to local fire departments.
Oh, that's cool.
Yep.
Good deal.
All right, let's go way back. So before we run out of time, go the farthest back you are going to go.
Okay, let's see. I pulled March 2nd, 1962 out because if my math is correct, that's 50 years, right?
Yep, that's right.
So I think like the most fun thing for me in the 60s is the classified ads because it's just
the monkeys. Hey, with the monkeys. Keep their monkey around. Sorry, that was 60s. Go ahead.
Okay, so also the funny thing about this, I have the page open to the classified ads right now. It also has an ad to subscribe to the Chronicle, and 1 year of a subscription was $9.
Ooh.
Or
nice.
You could save big and subscribe for 2 years for $16.
And are they going to do a kind of a retro thing this year on the anniversary and allow you to subscribe for $9 again?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that one. That might not be the best business decision.
I love it, though.
So, but yeah, the classifieds
are... Lisa likes
to
get paid.
Yeah, you know, that tends to help us out. Let's see, the classifieds are funny. They're very colloquial, I find. Like, there's one right here. The title is, Doctor's Orders, Must Sell 10-Year-Old Thoroughbred Gelding Because of My Allergy. Good child or ladies hunter has been shown and hunted. Well-mannered. Call or write. Peggy Minnis, Greenway, Virginia. EL65220. Is that the phone number? Or
yeah, they used to use letters at the beginning.
Okay.
Back then, yeah. That's
so,
Glenn.
Isn't that funny, though? You could, like, you see a horse you want, and you just sit down at your writing desk and take out some stationery.
You guys missed this, too, and you probably didn't live through this little period of time in history when you had what were they called? Jennifer, what were they called when the whole community was on the same line?
Party line.
Oh.
Did you ever live through a party? We had 4 households that were on our phone number.
Oh, my gosh. What if you wanted to use the phone when they were on it?
You picked it up, you could hear them talking, and you hung up, and you kept picking up and checking until they were done, and then you could use your phone.
Did you ever just listen to the other people?
Oh, yeah. As kids, we did that. But you could tell when somebody was listening because you'd hear it pick up, and then you could tell that the neighbors were listening, and we got in trouble for that.
Okay.
But, yeah, and it had different rings. You each had a separate phone number, but it was the same phone line, so it would ring, like, once if it was your neighbor's, twice if it was yours.
Yep.
And, yeah, that's the party lines.
Wow. So, yeah, I guess you had to write letters or call these bizarre phone numbers if you wanted to buy horses. But what if you wrote a letter and someone had already written another letter and then I guess they got the horse first?
Yeah.
That is crazy. I'm sorry. You know what? I mean, I've written letters before when I was like 8 because you had to write them. But, no, I cannot imagine writing a letter. Like, I remember getting, like, the Chronicle magazine, and there'd be, like, the advertisement in the back, and it was, like, for a free of so-and-so right here. And you would write a letter to, you know, the ad in the back of the Chronicle.
Yep.
And I do remember doing that, but that's about it. Like, I can't imagine writing a letter. I'm interested in your horse. You know how many really bad ads you have to go through of writing letters?
Yeah, that would be terrible, and it would take so much time.
I'm
what breeds were for sale back then?
Yeah,
what did you say?
What was the most popular breed for sale in 50 years ago?
It looks definitely like thoroughbreds, although there are also, like, you know, nondescript horses. It'll say, like, field or working hunter mare, brown, 16-2. So there's no telling what the breed was on that one. There's another that's called... a rainbow? I don't know if that's a pinto or if that's sire. It's very hard to tell.
Right. Well, you know what? I'll tell you how you can find out is write a letter to the address that you need it, and you can ask them.
I bet they would be shocked to have a response to that now. I wonder if they're even still around.
That's awesome.
I'm looking.
Well,
one second here. I'm looking at... I just want to ask her about this real quick. I'm looking at one of your covers from 1937.
Yeah.
And this, it was called the Middleburg, the Chronicle. So it was really a more very local kind of newspaper back then.
Yep. It started as like a local rag, basically, just in Middleburg.
And it'll show you how local it was. Let me read some of the headlines to you. From 1937, from Middleburg, the Chronicle. Middleburg's mayor, Luck, takes office. It covers, and his name was Luck. There you go.
Yep.
Surprises Phil Card at first race meet. James Ryan scores at Fox Chaser meet. Missy Tabby wins Fairfax Horse Show. And then here, this is how local it was. John Lewis dines in Middleburg. I thought it said dies in Middleburg.
No!
But it actually said dines in Middleburg.
Yes, it's awesome. If you go back to those first issues, they're hilarious. There are things, there's like the social section, and it says things like, so-and-so made a trip to Leesburg on Tuesday to get groceries. They returned safely on Wednesday.
Did
you're just
say,
like, what?
Does it say anything about a new up-and-coming apprentice jockey named Davy Jones?
Anything, no.
Anywhere? I could go back and try to find that, though. That would be really cool. That would be
Davy
awesome.
Jones rides his first racehorse at the Middleburg in England.
Yeah. No,
cool.
It's crazy.
Well, where can people find all of this? Do they have to buy the art magazine? Can they look online?
You know, we're going to be putting selections online throughout the year. We're going to be starting, I think it starts in April or May. Right now we just have a brief history up and a couple of the covers. I can post those on the Facebook page for people to look at.
Great.
We have the bound volumes. I should actually take a picture of the office where I work, because behind me are all the bound volumes just stacked up to the ceiling all the way back. So it's pretty cool. But, yeah, it's hard to get your hands on those. I don't even know if we sell them from, like, the 30s anymore, because we just don't have that many. But we'll be putting stuff online throughout the year, so definitely check back for that.
All right, that's crownofhorse.com. Lisa, thank you, as always, for joining us, and I didn't feel too stupid at all this time. I thought it was going to be a test, a pop quiz,
no,
and I get a little choked up for those, so I do appreciate it.
Yep. All right,
thank
thanks
you,
for
Lisa.
Having me.
Okay, talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, we have another person on the line here, and she wants to tell us a little bit about what fun she gets to have next week and what's coming up, and that's Tammy Sherratt for the Western Radio Show. Good morning, Tammy.
Hey, Tammy. Glenn and Jamie, how are y'all doing?
We're doing great. So
good.
You're doing something fun next week, and what I'm really happy about is that you're feeling up to doing it, that you're feeling well enough.
I know. My friends asked me if I was good enough to fly, and I told them that I Googled it, and it said it was okay.
You can Google anything.
I said, flying, traumatic brain injury, okay, yeah, I can go.
Now, I got to start by just saying that I love it when an Aussie says, hey, y'all, makes me happy.
Yeah, it's kind of, I'm not quite sure. You know, I've kind of worked out it depends where you are is where you're from, because I go to Australia and I'm from Texas, and I'm in Texas and I'm from Australia, so...
Yeah,
it's not where you're from, it's where you are.
Yeah, exactly.
But I am off to Murfreesboro, Tennessee, next week for Road to the Horse, which is, it was actually my first time last year to go to Road to the Horse, and I was just, you know, it was really the best equine event I've ever seen, so I'm really excited. Not so much to go this year, but it's Australia team, Glenn. I mean, it's U.S.
Yeah.
versus Australia versus Canada. And I'm really torn because, you know, I've been in the U.S. for a long time now, but it's Australia. So I have to, this is one thing I can't miss.
And you have
who is it?
She has somebody on the Australian team worth rooting for. He's a good friend of the Horse Radio Network, and that's Guy McLean.
Yes, Guy McLean, and he's partnering up with Dan James and Jamie, it's Craig Cameron and Pat Pirelli who's going to go for the U.S. team.
Wow,
that's awesome. Yeah, that's a pretty good team. And then the Canadians of Glenn Stewart and Jonathan Field, and we've had them on the Western Radio Show, and they're just a super nice group of guys. So it's going to be a really tough competition. So
explain to people who don't, you went last year and you got to see it yourself. Explain to people
yeah.
who don't know what it is at all, what it is, what happened.
You know, I was kind of deceived when I went last year, Glenn. I really thought it was going to be very clinician-based, but it was really, it was a wonderful celebration of the horse, and that's really what I learned last year. And what it is they pick a colt out of a remuda, and then they work with this colt. And you get to see everything they do with this colt, and they only have a limited amount of time to work with this colt. And you see everything they do in the round pen, and then they take the colt through an obstacle course, And it's really amazing everything they can get achieved with this colt in such a short period of time. But in between the colt sessions, you get to see all these other amazing equine performers come and perform for you. And then you also get to see these clinicians bring in finished horses that they've had to do just clinics with their finished horses, which is really good to see. So not only do you get to see colt starting demonstrations, you get to see the finished horses as well. So it's kind of really just a huge celebration of the horse as well as a colt starting world championship. So it's just a huge celebration of the horse. And there was it's not just a big clinic. It's really just a celebration.
Let me ask you this. Now, I don't remember in the past there being teams or countries. It was like three trainers kind of battling it out. So now that they have teams, and you're saying that, like, Guy is on a team with somebody and then, like, Pat Pirelli's on it. Now, who's Pat Pirelli on the team with?
Pat's on with Craig Cameron.
Okay, so Pat and Craig probably have... Yeah, I mean, maybe the end result is the same, but they have the same different ways of achieving those results. Are they both training one horse together? And how is that not going to be battle royale?
No, they will have their scores will go in together. So, but you're right. Last time they had three clinicians, like in 2011, they had Pat, Chris, and Clinton Anderson, and you know, Chris Cox won last year, and it was Craig Cameron the year before, and then Richard Winters. And so they've always really had three, and this is kind of the first time they're really stepping out and letting the teams go ahead and really having a best-of international showdown, and that's what really makes this one of the most exciting ones we've seen so far. So
That is so cool. I'm so excited. Yeah. I mean, I've always wanted to go see one, but the fact that they have teams, I got to throw my hat in with the Aussies. Go, Aussie.
Good for you.
Now, tickets are sold out like they always are for this event, but people can watch it another way, right?
Exactly. And, you know, it reminds me of the Super Bowl, Glenn, because sometimes it is better off on the screen because you get to see so much more and you get to see it up close and you can go in and go grab your popcorn. So you can watch the webcast. It's only $29.95, and all the details are on roadtothehorse.com. And I'll post it on the Facebook page for everyone listening. So you can go ahead and buy the webcast. You'll get to see all the clinician clinics and all the Road to the Horse action. So that's really probably going to be the best way for everyone watching it since all the tickets are sold out now.
And they'll have commentary, and they also do a lot of – it's not just this. They also have a lot of activities and other things going on as part of the show, right?
Oh, yeah. They're going to show all the clinician clinics, and they're going to show all the Road to the Horse action on the webcast. So it's going to be a great deal for three days of action for $29.95. But I'm going to be excited. I'll check in and let you all know how it's going and let you know what's happening from down there in Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Jamie, she's going to join us next Thursday and Friday morning when she's live at the location. So we'll get live reports from Road to the Horse.
That's awesome. Can't wait.
So who do you think is going to win? Not to put you on the spot, Glenn, but USA, Australia, Canada?
I have to say that I'm rooting for Australia as well just because Guy's such a good friend of ours.
Ooh, Australia all the way around. We're going to be –
Jennifer, who are you siding with, Jennifer?
Who's on the Canadian team?
Canadian is Glenn Stewart and Jonathan Field, and both great guys.
Oh, see, the only one I know, I'm going to have to go Aussies because the only one on any of the teams that I know and I've shaken their hand is Guy. Yeah.
Well, yeah, everyone knows Guy. He's a really good guy.
Yeah.
But they're all great horsemen, so that's what's going to make it such a good showdown.
Well, it looks like it's Aussies all around here.
Well, I'll call in and keep you all updated, and everyone can get all the latest details at roadtothehorse.com and on the Horses in the Morning Facebook page.
All right. Thank you very much, Jamie.
While we're waiting for the Road to the Horse start, I'm going to go ahead and make us matching Australia flag jackets so we can wear them.
Good thing it's radio because you're all going to look so dorky.
Are you going to be wearing your super cool pistol hat, cowboy hat?
Have you seen those Australian hats, Glenn? They're pretty, I don't want to say they're dorky because I'm from Australia, but they're pretty flat.
Yeah, they are, actually. They're kind of cool.
But we'll see how good they can walk a pony next week, and I'll check in and let you all know.
All right. Thank you, Tammy.
I am slowly turning my husband into the man from Snowy River, so he does wear an Aussie hat all the time. And I do appreciate – oh, dude, if I could get him on a buckskin wearing the Aussie hat and some sort of, like, oil slick jacket, dude, it'd be on. He wouldn't be on the horse.
Wow.
But, yeah. Bye, Tammy.
Bye, Tammy.
Bye, guys.
That's the radioshow.com. Dude, she sounded better this week, didn't she? I'm just glad to hear that.
Yeah.
She sounded
much better, much better. No, seriously, though, if I could, yeah. My husband, I'm slowly turning him into Jim Craig.
Well, one last quick story here, and it's a light story. It's kind of fun, and I thought we'd end on that. We've had a heck of a day, and I think we'll play the day out. What do you say we play the day out with our opener today? I'll do that today, too, so we can hear it again.
Let's do it.
But Shane, a liver chestnut Irish draft cross, is living very happily in, I think it's England. And the thing that makes Shane so interesting is Shane is now the oldest living horse at the age of 56 years old. And very happily living over there, apparently living at the 40-acre Remus Memorial Horse Sanctuary in Brentwood. The 15-hand horse, and Shane became the oldest living horse after the death of the previous one in 2004. And what's most interesting is that, bizarrely, the oldest living dog also lives in the same town, and that's a 24-year-old terrier whippet cross called Pip at 24 years old. So, Shane, we wish you a good, happy, healthy life, and, you know, I just thought that was a fun story about this old guy who's just living life.
Aw, bless his little heart. That's so sweet.
Yep. So that's it. That's the show for today. Thank you very much, everybody, for joining in. You know, despite the bad news, I think we had a fun show.
I think so, too. Just want to let everybody head out. I'm going to say spay, neuter, and geld right now because I'm just going to sit back and sing along to the monkeys. We miss you, Davey. Rest in peace, baby.
Here we come, walk down the street. We get funniest looks from everyone we meet. Hey, hey, we're the monkeys. The people say we're monkey around. But we're too busy singing to put anybody down.
Davey Jones, the lead singer of the monkeys, has died. From the medical examiner's office in Martin County, Florida, tells TMZ Jones passed away Wednesday morning. His rep confirmed the news, saying the singer died from a heart attack.
I thought love was only true and fairy tale. Meant for someone else, but not for me. A love without forgetting me. That's the way it seems. Then I saw her face.